Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the last day of July. It's July the 31st. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and this is the Best Stocks Now show, where we will have another big week of earnings, and we'll take a look at where we're at in earnings so far. We've got kind of a slow start to the market. The Dow is up, however. It's up 39 points to 35,498. That's the Dow. The S&P is up just 2 points at 4,584. The NASDAQ is down 3 points, 14,313. Small caps having a good day. Small caps are up 0.75% today. A lot of false starts to the small caps this year. Maybe one of these will follow through. Crude oil having a very good day. And I would say, as I look at charts here early in the day, there's a lot of energy service stocks that look good today. Crude oil is up 83 cents, and it now sits at $81.41. That's the highest level we've seen in quite some time. Gold is having a good day. Gold is up $6 to 2006. I don't think it's been above 2000 for quite a while, several months, but it's there again. Silver's up 22 cents to 24.72. We've got the bond market selling off, or actually rallying a little bit, with interest rates down 2 basis points. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we pick up where we left off on Friday, although the market's really not following through. We had a huge day on Friday after the PCE inflation numbers came in lighter than expected. And Intel pretty much wowed the PC sector. And by the end of the day on Friday, the NASDAQ was up another 261 points. The Dow was up 194. The S&P was up 46. So I'm not surprised to see the market open a little quietly here today.
Yeah, maybe they just, instead of the Friday fade, they just took the three-day weekend and added the Monday, right?
It seems Friday.
A bit tame on the this
those,
morning.
Fridays fizzle right. out, but it didn't. It opened strong and it closed strong on Friday. Oil is above $80. I think that's something to take note of because that is part of the inflation equation. And it's also part of a sector that has kind of led the second half of this year. We're 1 month into the second half of 2023, and I'm going to call the energy service stocks. Tech's done good. I mean, let's not count it out. But the energy service stocks and the financials have definitely been two strong sectors here. And what do they have in common? Low P.E. ratios. So we ended up very strong on Friday. We had an eventful week last week. I had
what a busy summer. I mean, usually it's kind of ends up you hit kind of the doldrums of summer. The old sow in May, go away adage. Volumes are usually lower, but I mean we've had look at your volume sheet. I've seen I think three of the at least three of the 7 or 8 busiest days of the year have been during the summer this year. So it's been, as we close out July, it's been pretty interesting.
Yeah, and, that soft landing scenario, we had the Fed last Friday take out the recession forecast. Okay, no recession forecast by the Fed, at least at this point in time, even though we have the Fed funds rate at the highest level in 22 years, and we had those better-than-expected inflation reports last Friday, and we also had a rate hike last week.
And so, and we get some jobs numbers, some PMI numbers this week. We'll have ADP job survey, which remember kind of kicked off some of this some volatility last go round until the 2 days later when the U.S. non-farm payrolls came out. So we've got that to look forward to on Friday with the plethora of earnings thrown in the middle.
Yes, and I'm going to give an update in the second quarter of the show on where we're at right now with earnings season. I want to say we're about 40% through earnings season. This is another huge week. One-third of the S&P 500 companies will report. We'll go through some of the stocks to look for this week, a lot of big ones. Last week, I would say it was Boeing that was very impressive. I would say Google, Alphabet was also very impressive. Meta was also very impressive last week, as it continues to be nominated by me as the stock of the year, along with General Electric, GE, which has also had a very good year.
And Intel's trying to catch up too, right?
Yeah, and let's not forget Intel. What about me jumping up and down on Friday? Is there a comeback finally in the works? Will it be like GE? Do they finally have the right management back in place once again to regain some of their past glory? Okay, today I'm seeing pretty good action. Okay, so far the charts... and I had a pretty good chance to look at a lot of charts here so far this morning. It's definitely the energy service stocks with oil now at 81.41. So three stocks standing out there, EOG, Halliburton, Schlumberger, all standing out today. And then in the software, there was a big upgrade for Adobe. And Adobe is a very good chart standout stock today. HubSpot is a standout. And a few other software stocks. But outside of that, the market's pretty quiet. The chips are quiet, but software doing pretty good. Now, today, a few interesting stocks we'll report today. We're going to get FANG. Not Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Diamondback Energy. And by the way, it seems like the Diamondbacks are kind of fading in the West, and it seems like the San Diego Padres, who won three in a row over the weekend.
You're almost to 500. I've been keeping an eye on for you.
We swept Texas Rangers, but it would still take a miracle. There's four teams in front of us. But a lot of them are starting to fade, including the Giants and the Diamondbacks. But FANG, Diamondback Energy, will report after the close today. That's been one of the hot stocks recently. Transocean will report. That's a rig. And we've already had two come in. SoFi, which is also sports related because SoFi is the home of Rams, where the Los Angeles Rams play, SoFi Stadium. SoFi had an excellent report. That is a lender. It's kind of an app. It's kind of an online lender, I guess. And it's got a very well-known CEO who's also the CEO of a few other companies. It's got its name on the Los Angeles Rams mega stadium that they built in Inglewood, California. SoFi's up 18.6% today. And I want to say SoFi is a big part of Kathy Woods. I think she's a big owner. Yes, ARC is up 1.8%, so I'm assuming most of that is SoFi. And then the other one that reported was a lesser-known chip semiconductor company, ON Semiconductor. But both of those stocks breaking out, SoFi and ON. Look at that nice breakout.
And SoFi maybe, I'm trying to go back and see. I think SoFi may be one that's will benefit from whenever student loan payments restart.
Yes.
I've got to look back.
That's exactly right. No, that's true, because when the Supreme Court ruled against Biden on the student loans, SoFi sold off, and then he came up with a plan B somehow to get around the Supreme Court decision. And SoFi has been rallying ever since. And it is. I think they take their student debt and refinance it with SoFi.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a big chunk of their business.
It's kind of the old Nelnet. There used to be a couple other ones that would do a lot of that work. But
so anyways, the two reports we have so far are ON, S-O-F-I-O-N, and SoFi, S-O-F-I, and they're both very good. Now, when we come back, we'll look at the rest of the week. We've got some big ones reporting this week, and then we'll see where we're at so far. Because the multiple part of the equation has kind of settled in now with the Fed. Not too many more, maybe one more rate hike, maybe. But that multiple is pretty much settled in, and now it comes down to earnings. That's the key part of the equation. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Crude oil up 79 cents right now, 81.37. NASDAQ's up 19, the Dow's up 24, and the small cap's doing very well. Russell 2000 up 15. All right, who's going to report earnings? We went through today. There was about five. Two have reported already. Tomorrow it will be kind of a large drug, large pharma, big pharma day. Pfizer will report, AstraZeneca, Novartis reporting tomorrow. We'll get the tobacco giant Altria reporting in, and their compadre there, Philip Morris, will also report. And then we get AMD. That's a big one. That's a big report, obviously. Starbucks, Merck, BP, Caterpillar, Uber, Pinterest, Virgin Galactic, Norwegian Cruise Lines, AIG, Solar Edge, Marriott, JetBlue, MicroStrategy, Allstate, Caesars. So a lot of important earnings on tap for tomorrow. We also get TAP reporting, which is Molson Coors Brewing. Wednesday, CVSO.
They've probably gotten a windfall.
They've been on the receiving end with their Coors Light.
I know they have.
Shopify will report on Wednesday. Qualcomm, PayPal. You thought we were going to have an easier week than last week. Oh, no. Kraft, Unity Software, Etsy, DuPont. Marathon Oil, MGM Resorts, Clorox, APA Corp, Yum Brands,
throwing the Bank of England. Bank of England, I think, has a rate decision. All kinds
Okay. And then Robinhood, DoorDash. Then on Thursday will be Amazon. So I'm just going to say right now that the two big ones so far that I've seen that everybody's going to be watching, AMD on Tuesday, and Amazon on Thursday, and not to be left out, Apple, which is probably the second most important report behind Tesla.
Right.
Also reporting on Thursday, Block, which is Square, Airbnb, DraftKings, Anheuser-Busch, which has been on the bad end of that stick there, Kellogg, Cigna, Expedia. And then on Friday, it cools down, finally. But a big week of earnings.
But we get the jobs number on
Friday. Yeah. US, yeah. We get the U.S. payroll. Very big.
Right. Lately, because that's the thing. Every one of these data points is can't miss. Yeah.
What the Fed's going to do next. Well, we're 51% of the way into earnings season. We hit the halfway point on Friday. And the second big week of earnings, which was last week, which is much better than the first week that we had, which was pretty sloppy. Last week was pretty good, and now we're up to 80% of the companies that have reported. So you've got 250 that have reported in the S&P 500. 80% have beaten their earnings estimates. 64% have beat their revenue estimates. Now we've gone back up. Last week we were cleared down to an estimate of $51.47 for this quarter. And now we're back up to $52.31. So the number went up last week. But that will be if that's the ending number, that would be 7.3% less than the same quarter last year, which was still under the influence of the,
delayed purchasing, in other words.
Yeah, so. The high also coming out of COVID. Okay, so a better week. The number now for this quarter, $52.31. You can multiply that by four to get an annual number. That would be about $208. But actually, we're going to come in somewhere in the $220 area for this year, because the quarter that we're now in the last quarter, we're supposed to see a pretty big pickup in earnings from the first two quarters of this year. Now the big issue becomes valuation. As you know, we've had a really good start to 2023. Now we're more than halfway into it. And the forward PE of the market has gone up from just under 17 to 19.4. That's where we are this week. We got as high as 23 at the beginning of last year, which was way too high. 19.4 is still a little bit high, but if we have a really good second half of the year, the market could probably support that. The 5-year average is 18.6, so we're at 19.5 right now. The 10-year average is 17.4, but I think we can support a little higher multiple because we're in a much better interest rate environment. So the current target price estimate, analyst estimate, this is the consensus of all the people. This includes Chris Wilson, right? Mike Wilson at Morgan Stanley and our friend at J.P. Morgan, Marco Kalanovich. The average target price 12 months out for the S&P 500 is 4,997. I guess we could call it 5,000. And here we are today at just over 4,500. So,
well, did you know that we're higher? The 10-year is actually around 15, 14 basis points higher than it started the year, and we've had this, we've had this PE expansion. So it's all about, forward interest rate expectations, right, in the next few years. So,
and looking beyond, the multiple also looks beyond the Fed. It's looking at their next two moves down the road, and it's predicting just the multiple. The multiple is predict, not the bond market yet, but the multiple seems to predict that the Fed probably is done. So I just think you have to be cautious on individual. Now you have more individual stock risk, obviously, than you had at the beginning of the year. And the most vulnerable will be the Cathie Wood type stocks. SARC may come in handy at some point in time with the multiples getting higher in the market. You have to be more careful, especially with new money. That's what I've been saying now for the last several weeks. It's not like it was at the beginning of the year when the multiple was 16.7, 17, somewhere around there. Now we're at 19.4. So now you have to be really careful, and that's why you're seeing the money spread out to other sectors that have more low PE stocks in them, like the oil and gas. And the oil and gas sector is also getting a double whammy by oil prices going up. And then, of course, the financials also have been on the receiving end of a lot of sector rotation taking place. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of stocks in the news, upgrades, downgrades, earnings reports, etc. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, here's the sobering news of the week. Nukes on the table as Ukraine warns that war is returning to Russia. And if you didn't see it over the weekend, a couple of drones from Ukraine hit Moscow. So, you know, you always have to worry about geopolitical events. That's probably the biggest one in the world right now. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said Moscow could be forced to use nuclear weapons. Of course, they've said this many times before. If Ukraine's counteroffensive, which apparently is heating up, turned out successful, and he stressed that Russian armed forces are keeping the global nuclear fire from flaring up. Well, that's a scary deal there. In the meantime, African leaders met with Putin over the weekend to discuss resuming the Black Sea grain deal. You know, they need that grain there in Africa.
Yeah, and we saw wheat surveys here in the U.S. actually came through pretty well above expected. So it's keeping, you know, costs expensive elsewhere, but at least, you know, at home in terms of wheat, right? It's you know, been kind of a bit of a bumper crop, at least for the moment.
And then the other bad news on this whole thing, the sanctions might be maybe overcome right now by the windfall oil and gas profits and commodity profits that Russia is receiving right now. With oil, they're not getting 83, but there's been a big increase in oil prices.
Well, there's nuclear power plants in the middle of the war zone. You know, that's the other thing.
That's another thing that you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Euro inflation. You know, that's another thing. I think it's caught. I think most economists are pretty surprised by how fast and how far inflation has dropped. We were at 9% in the U.S., and now we're down under 6%, and the euro inflation dropped to 5.3% in July, the third consecutive month of decline. And at the same time, their GDP expanded by 0.6%. So that's the best of both worlds when you have your economy expanding and inflation dropping. Now, I see another buying opportunity in the bond market. Because like you said, you know, interest rates have gone back up. They were up over 4 last week. Now they're just barely under 4. JP Morgan sees the 10-year yield drifting lower by the end of 2023. I agree with that. It peaked at 4.2. They're calling for 3.5 at the end of the year. So, you know, we're almost at 4 now. If interest rates go down 50 basis points on the 10-year between now and the end of the year, that's very bullish for individual bonds. So we did pick up.
Yeah,
or we added to.
We picked up, added to some, and then picked up a new one just before the rate decision early last week or prior week, but right at 6%. So
yeah, I mean, that's right. Okay, I need to send out a message on that one to our subscribers. I think I missed that one. So
yeah,
send me an email, remind me, and I'll send that to our subscribers.
Yeah, you mentioned
here today.
It. Certainly mentioned it on air.
And we'll be looking for more. You know, I'm looking every single day. We mostly look in the high fives at this point in time. And so if you can get in the high fives for the next 3 to 5 years and get some capital appreciation on top of that, that's not bad. Now, our friend Mike Wilson is changing his tune a little bit. He he sees a 2019-like rally this year. That sounds like an about
that would
face.
Be a straight. That's a straight. That would have been basically a straight up rally for 2019, right?
Yeah. Doesn't that? Isn't he trying to CYA? You know, or what? I don't know what they call
cutting,
that.
That was a rate cutting cycle. Actually.
Yeah. I mean, somehow, you know, he's been just like gloom and doom
all over the place. I guess
now all of a sudden he's reaching back into his bag of tricks to 2019. Say, well, we could have another rally like 2019. I'm going to call the stock of the day, just so far of what I've looked at. Let's see if it's hanging in there. Adobe. And we do own Adobe in our ultra growth portfolio, which has had one heck of a year so far this year. The ultra growth portfolio so has the premier growth portfolio because we happen to be parked in the right places. This is a year for growth stocks, which we said it would be.
And large ones at that.
And large ones. Adobe, $250 billion. But it's an aggressive stock. It does, it has its ups and downs. But it's not like as big as Microsoft or Google, but it's a major player. Adobe is up 3.3%, $17 per share on an upgrade by Morgan Stanley. Okay, so they can't be too bearish on the market if they're upgrading a stock like Adobe, which is expensive to begin with. Now, let's just look at our five-year. I don't know. I don't think that Adobe at this level meets our, and they're upgrading it, so, you know, I don't agree with Morgan Stanley very often. We're at odds with each other most of the time. I have 50% upside potential in Adobe over the next 3 to 5 years. That makes it not in the buy territory at all for me. I mean, I want 75 to 80% or more. 49.5 is subpar. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go out and sell Adobe. But it does mean I'm not going to be throwing new money at Adobe here. But you've got Morgan Stanley, who we rarely agree with. Their target price, they're raising it from 510 to 660. Well, it's 545 now. So it's having a good day. I'm going to call it the stock of the day so far. And it's just on what an analyst said out there. That's you raise expectation, the stock goes up. And they're also downgrading Salesforce, CRM. I'm going to look at that. That's in the Dow. It's probably the most aggressive stock in the Dow. We have it with 68% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years. So it's just underneath our requirements for new money. 68% is just average, below average, actually.
And their AI execution could take it either way on that, in that instance, right?
It's and Adobe right also edge. Has a big AI
exactly.
Component, and so does CRM. And another one is ServiceNow. So here you got three in a row that come from kind of the same cloud. They're talking new generative AI offerings in a partnership with NVIDIA. Okay, so those are fighting words there. You mentioned that. I think that the all of these CEOs on the conference call, the underlings are reminding them, mention AI in the I saw more companies.
Like a cue card. There's a cue card.
Yeah. I saw a cosmetic company, cosmetics, which develops cosmetics using AI, artificial intelligence. ServiceNow is having a good day. It's up 1.5%. And I think we've already talked about it as an AI player. Now, who's having a bad day and a bad week and a bad month? It just continues. Ford now has to recall 870,000 newer F-150 pickups.
Was that for the emergency brake thing where the emergency
yes.
brake was automatically coming on?
Yeah, while you don't want that to happen when you're
not while you're driving. No.
Nope. The guy behind you is not going to be happy. So now it's getting a downgrade. Of course, they're losing nothing but money on their electric car efforts so far. And in the meantime, the U.S. is now proposing to boost fuel economy standards for new vehicles to 58 miles per gallon.
Well, you know what
there
I was thinking?
There goes all the SUVs right out the window.
Well, or you know, better technology. The way I looked at it, I was thinking, hey, maybe that's why those oil producers are up today, given the fact that they're like, well, at least, what, 2032, right?
Was what yeah, 2032.
I mean, in my thought, it's like, oh, well, I guess we're still using gas in 2032. So there
well,
we go.
Well, that's all I know is I passed three giant freighters from China. A Zim, one of the Zims, one of the MSCI.
The pink one? What's the pink one?
Yeah, there was a pink one.
Yeah.
They were loaded. Every one of them has just hundreds and hundreds of containers on them. Every one of those containers has got to be hauled by a truck that uses diesel.
Yes.
And, of course, whatever gas those freighters use, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll look at what's moving underneath the surface of the market when we get back. But I must use the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must use the wrong car. Head is in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for. I've been in the right place. You got to go where you want to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I suppose really the stock of the day would be SoFi. It's up 22.1, but it's a high flyer, okay? It's a supercharged, nitroglycerin, expensive. It's a popular stock in the Reddit crowd. It's one of Kathy Wood's stocks. Having a good day, up 22.1, but buy at your own risk. In the Dow, Exxon, the oil stocks, that's the sector of the day. I'm going to call the oil sector the sector of the day. And right there with them, the financial sector once again. Exxon's up 3.2% today as oil continues to move higher. We were at 62 not that long ago, and now we're at 82. That's a 33% jump in oil prices just over the last few months. That's a huge jump.
Yeah, and it was trying to break through 80, right, for a period of time there, and looks like it's kind of gotten through that little short-term,
yep,
you know, piece of resistance there, so.
The other Dow stock that's doing well, and I'm going to guess it's because Barbie's doing so well. Disney has a movie. I think they have Haunted Mansion coming out.
Yeah, Haunted Mansion, I think, came out on Friday.
So. Okay, so.
Haven't seen any of the numbers on it, and don't know any. Haven't seen the. None of the kids have seen the movie, so that's
yeah,
all I got.
Well, I can look at
I've been
the
through
stock
the ride. I've been
today
through the ride a bunch of times.
And tell you that. It must be doing well at the box office so far because the stock is up 3.2%. Disney has made all kinds of false starts. Disney was 203 in 2021, $203 per share, and now it's $89 per share.
Well,
it's been cut in half.
Yeah, and don't forget that was pre-COVID. I mean, that's after COVID, so that's
yeah,
even. It's not like we're looking at nope, you know, the Disney, price of Disney stock. You know, pre-COVID. That's actually that. You know, that's after.
Yep, when they're hitting on all cylinders, apparently at the theme parks. I have read that the theme parks are struggling a bit, but it is what it is, up 3.2% today. Chevron up 3% in the Dow. And then Caterpillar up 1.7. Now, I don't know what the news is, but the stinker of the day is Johnson & Johnson.
I think they did they report today?
No, they reported last week. I'm going to guess it's something to do with the talcum powder.
A lawsuit, yeah.
Let me just look real quickly here. It's down 4%. That's a lot. That's a big drop for a big S&P 500 company and also in the S&P 500. Yeah, it's the talc plan has been rejected. So yeah, that's right. That just continues to go back and forth. They move it to another court, blah, blah, blah. Someone gets a multi-billion-dollar settlement in California, and it just keeps going all over the place. Obviously, bad news out there for Johnson & Johnson today. Biggest loser in the S&P 500 and in the Dow. And then on the upside, in the S&P 500, NOV, which is a energy service, a very good one, energy service stocks, that's the sector of the day. I would also call it the sector of the second half. And you can also look at a chart of NOV. That's an excellent chart on NOV. And you've got a P.E. ratio of 18 on NOV, a forward P.E. ratio of 12. So you've got low P.E., you've got a good chart, and you've got oil back above $80 per barrel. And then you've got Adobe up 3.2% in the S&P, and Chevron up 3%. The big tech is taking the day off. Microsoft has been soft ever since their earnings report last week. What was the problem with Microsoft? It was their cloud.
They beat on the top and bottom line. The problem was the Azure cloud data warehousing growth faded to, I don't know, I think it was like mid 20%, and of course that didn't sound terrible, but that's where a lot of their growth engine is, at least at the moment in Microsoft, and it faded a bit, so that's why it ended up with the drop. They didn't do anything in terms of changing estimates or anything from that standpoint. They just happened to beat on the top and bottom line, and
I'm not seeing anything happening today in AMD, Nvidia, Google, Microsoft, the big tech stocks, other than Adobe, which is up 3.2%. And then Netflix is up 2.3%. And there's a little bit of profit taking in Intel today. It's down 1.5% after their huge day on Friday.
Well, in the Netflix one, it's been interesting with the, Hollywood, writers and actors strike, right? So, you could have some content issues in terms of new content, but who knows? Maybe since they have so much content already, that could also, potentially boost some of their, you can make an argument either way for Netflix at the moment.
Yep. So that's where we stand on this Monday with a big week of earnings. Let's not forget we get Apple and we get AMD. And a lot of really important
AMD
stocks.
AMD will be a fun one. Yeah.
Yep. Reporting in this week, and we're 50% done. You've got 80% of the companies have beat estimates. Last week was a good week. The first week of earnings season was sloppy. I'm going to give it like a C-plus right now overall. This week will kind of be the decision maker on which way we go, whether this will be a good earnings season or not. Now, if you want to talk to us, I just have to look a lot harder. I still find plenty in that 75-80% or more upside, but they have to have the other criteria: good sector, good performance, good chart, etc. And there are a couple of sectors that really stand out right now where it seems to be the best fishing going on at the current time, the best prospects for finding stocks that meet our criteria. If you'd like to talk with us, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, set up an appointment. And if you want to check out the newsletter, which had a big important update on earnings season, our target price for the S&P 500, our featured stock of the week, which is off to a good start so far today, anyways, one of the leading stocks in the market today. It's up 1% on a day when the market's pretty quiet. That was our featured stock of the week. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at Gunderson Capital. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.